Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, welcome. We are in the book of Judges. We are in Judges chapters 4 and 5 today. We're going to be reading two chapters because this is inextricably linked. Chapters 4 and 5 can't do one without the other. And so I won't be able to go into great detail about all the things in these two chapters, but God has laid on my heart three key points, and hopefully when you leave here, you'll know what they are. So Judges chapters 4 and 5, this is God's word. After Ahud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops, to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Now, Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zanaim near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. All the troops of Sisera fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, however, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there were friendly relations between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the clan of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she put a covering over him. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone here, say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, the Canaanite king, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, the Canaanite king, until they destroyed him. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Village life in Israel ceased until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. When they chose new gods, war came to the city gates, and not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people. Praise the Lord. You who ride on white donkeys, sitting on your saddle blankets, and you who walk along the road, consider the voice of the singers at the watering places. They recite the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts of his warriors in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went down to the city gates. Wake up, Deborah. Wake up. Wake up. Break out in song. Arise, O Barak. Take captive your captives, O son of Abinoam. And the men who were left came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came to me with the mighty. Some came from Ephraim, whose roots were in Amalek. Benjamin was with the people who followed you. From Machir, captains came down. From Zebulun, those who bear a commander's staff. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, rushing after him into the valley. In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Why did you stay among the campfires? To hear the whistling for the flocks? In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And Dan, why did he linger by the ships? Asher remained on the coast and stayed in his coves. The people of Zebulun risked their very lives. So did Naphtali on the heights of the field. Kings came. They fought. The kings of Canaan fought at Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. But they carried off no silver, no plunder. From the heavens, the stars fought from their courses. They fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away. The age-old river, the river Kishon, march on, my soul, be strong. Then thundered the horse's hooves, galloping to go his mighty steeds. Curse Meraz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its people bitterly because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed of tent-dwelling women. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him curdled milk. Her hand reached for the tent peg, her right hand for the workman's hammer. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. At her feet he sank, he fell, there he lay. At her feet he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell, dead. Through the window peered Sisera's mother. Behind the lattice, she cried out, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why is the clatter of his chariots delayed? The wisest of her ladies answer her. Indeed, she keeps saying to herself, are they not finding and dividing the spoils? A girl or two for each man, colorful garments as plunder for Sisera, colorful garments embroidered, highly embroidered garments for my neck. All this is plunder. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. Then the land had peace 40 years. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you'll also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
There's a lot of detail in here that we don't have time to focus on. There are three main points, as I told you. But we're going to look at a couple of other things just by way of intro. To summarize, after Ahab died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Remember that phrase? Remember how we talked about that? What matters is what God says. How does he view the situation? The Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Why were they in bondage to a wicked pagan king? Because the Lord had given them over. Why would he do that? Because they had willfully sinned doing evil in the eyes of the Lord.
How did we get in this situation? Why is there suffering in the world? If God is good, why is there sickness and death?
Because God said, in the day you eat that fruit, you will surely die. It would be tragic if a planet filled with people who are estranged from God by sin didn't suffer, because there would be no reason for them to realize something is wrong. There's a huge sense of rage in our country on the part of all kinds of folks who are upset about all kinds of stuff. But the problem is that people are not going to God's word to see what is right and what is wrong. And if it's just this person being mad because their values are being violated versus this person being mad because what they value is being violated, we have really just descended into a dogfight. But if God has revealed to us what is right and what is good, then the problem of evil has an answer. The reason that there is sickness and suffering and death in this world is because man chose to sin against God, and the consequences are what we see all around us. Sickness, suffering, death. And that provides a wake-up call to say, repent. Because God doesn't just say, you better straighten up. God sent his son to save us. Jesus came to save us. To save us. When we couldn't save ourselves. Hallelujah. So, in this place, there was suffering. But the suffering lasted for 20 years before they started to pray. 20 years of oppression before they finally got serious. I have to ask, what will it take for Christians in America to get serious? What will it take before we start to pray? It took them 20 years. 20 years of horrible oppression. And meanwhile, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. Deborah? Why not Lapidoth? That was the husband. Well, because Deborah was a prophetess. How did she earn that? She didn't. It's a gift from God. He gave it to her. Well, why didn't he give it to Lapidoth? I don't know. Ask God. Deborah was a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth. She was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah. And she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." That's what a prophet does. The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go. Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." God said, go. I have conditions. Okay? I'm willing to do what God says, but only if I can have something to make me feel a little more comfortable about it. She said, "Very well, I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." Deborah might well have assumed that she would be the woman of whom God had spoken to her and said, "Tell Barak he's not going to get the honor because of the way he's acting. The honor's going to go to a woman." But it turned out it wasn't Deborah who got the honor either. It was Jael, somebody who wasn't on the radar. And Deborah sings about her. Chapter 5, verse 24, "Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, most blessed of tent-dwelling women." Even though God gives the honor to another person, Deborah sings the praises of that other person and says, God used her to do his work. Now, there were 900 chariots, 900 iron chariots that this oppressive army had. And God had a battle plan. God could have just sent fire from heaven like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah. But God did instead what he typically chooses to do, and that is he uses people to accomplish his purpose. And so God said, "Barak, you're the guy to lead the Israelites, and I, the Lord, will lure Sisera down by the Kishon River." Why would he go there? Well, because that was a flat plain where it would be easy to maneuver the chariots, unless the earth shook and the heavens poured and the clouds poured down water. Unless the river Kishon started sweeping them away. The age-old river, the river Kishon. That valley is a great place to be in a chariot. Unless it gets real wet. If it gets really wet, it's a bad place to be in a chariot. Even Napoleon would later find that he was able to have victory because of the weather there in that plain. Isn't that interesting? And those aren't the only two times that it's happened. This is a place subject to flooding. And so God lured Sisera to that place with his army, with the 900 chariots, and they are thinking they're going to have victory. They're going to get plunder from the Jews. And instead, the Jews wipe them out. Why? Because God sent them to do so. God sent them to do so. Well, that doesn't seem very politically correct. You need to read this book. Really, folks, you need to read this book. Point number one from these two chapters is that God will use whomever he chooses. God will use whomever he chooses. God will raise up Moses. But God will also use Pharaoh to accomplish his purpose. God will use whomever he chooses. And God will destroy his enemies. Look at the end of chapter 5. So may all your enemies perish, verse 31. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord. God's going to destroy his enemies. God promises that he's going to destroy his enemies. God keeps his promises. You can read from Genesis to Revelation and you will find God saying over and over and over and over, repent, because I'm going to destroy my enemies. You don't want to be in that group. Nobody wins a fight with God. And here's the amazing thing. All of us were in that group. All of us were at enmity against God. All of us said, no, I'll go my own way, thanks. And like stupid sheep, we wandered off. All of us, not some of us, all of us in our own way have said to God on numerous occasions, no, I got this. I'll handle it. God will use whomever he chooses, and God will destroy his enemies. But the good news is God has sent his son to save all who love him. If you turn to him in repentance, he will save you. That's the third point. He will rescue those who love him. Look again at these closing verses from chapter 5. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. I just have to ask, do you love him? I mean, do you love him? We love him because he first loved us. He doesn't say, okay, if you'll love me, I'll love you. No, he loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son to save us. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. And so our job now as those who love him is to do what he says and spread the word to a world in rebellion. Repent while there's time. The king is coming back. We're not just saying, oh, you better turn or burn, bud. We're saying, please, I was once where you were. Okay? I'm telling you, while there's time, you need to turn to Jesus. He's the only one who can save you. So, then the land had peace for 40 years. How long were they oppressed before this happened? 20 years. How long did they have peace? 40 years. We talked about this last time, but I don't want you to miss it. However great the suffering is, God's grace is greater. Whatever you have to go through, whatever we have to go through, God has promised that the future is bright for those who love him. If you love the Lord, you can know that in every situation, he is working for your good. God will use whom he chooses. God will destroy his enemies. God will save those who love him. Be sure that you have believed the gospel and therefore you love him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, because that, Jesus said, is the most important thing. And it only happens when we love him because he first loved us.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number.
866-41-ABIDE or contact us on the web at wvr.org.